Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
I've always had a bit of an interest in radio and hearing oddities on radio, and it all goes back really to the 90s when I owned a scanning radio, which you can still buy, but they're not quite as relevant as they were back then because everything's kind of gone digital nowadays. But originally with mobile phones, for example, you could actually listen to mobile phone conversations, and I didn't make a habit of doing that, and it was illegal at the time. But you could, because they were broadcast over an analog radio frequency around about the 920 megahertz mark. And it was very interesting and sometimes a little bit too addictive. And scanning radio is perfectly legal. You could buy them in the UK, and they were legal, I think, in the States as well. I think most of them were developed in the States. And essentially they were like an FM radio or medium wave radio, but it extended the frequency range that you could listen to right up to about 1,000 megahertz, sometimes even way beyond that. And you could therefore listen to all these channels and frequency ranges that gave you very strange, eerie, mysterious radio sounds. And a lot of the time you could actually find out what these sounds were, because you could buy books, such as in the UK, you could buy the UK scanning directory. And I'm guessing that's still going today, but most of it's probably online now. You don't really need a big book. And you could find out what these frequencies were for, and you could find out what the sounds were about, and who was broadcasting it, and who owns the space, and who allocated it out, and all this sort of thing. It was very interesting. And I really listened to it mainly because I was interested in things like police radio and listening into air traffic control. And it's mostly used for ATC, air traffic control, because that's where you can listen to the pilots coming in to land and take off at airports, large airports, or even small airstrips. And it is quite interesting, actually. But I must admit, I did tend to listen to the police a little more. And interestingly, it's a bit of a grey area, really, with the law. But in the UK, I think it is illegal to listen to police radio frequencies. And it's not something I do now. I only did it, like I say, a little bit back in the 90s. And if I think in the States it's perfectly legal, and it's very common for truckers, etc., to just be tuning into police radio. And you could even download apps on smartphones where you can just listen to American police radio stations, channels such as Chicago and LAPD, NYPD and stuff. And it's very interesting. It's a very different policy in the UK about that. It's much more secretive. And I think now, particularly because they use Tetra and more digital means to communicate, you can't hear it anyway most of the time, because scanning radios can only pick up analog frequencies. But I think there are still some police radio channels that are broadcast over analog means, over medium wave. I think perhaps the traffic police still do a little bit of that, because it's longer range, perhaps a bit more reliable. But I'm a little bit out of date when it comes to that tech. I was very on the ball about that about 5-10 years ago, but things are moving so fast now. I wouldn't be surprised if they mostly just use mobile phones, to be perfectly honest. But that's where we're at. But anyway, recently I found a very, very interesting website, which I didn't know about. And it's the URL I'm going to provide in the notes for this episode. I won't give it out, because it's a bit of a peculiar URL. It's for I think it's a Dutch university, and it's an amateur radio club, and they've basically put up and I have to admit, a lot of the actual technology I'm a little bit sort of unsure about. I'm just trying to get my head around some of it. It's very interesting stuff, but from what I can tell, they've basically set up a scanning radio, but on a computer, and given it some internet connectivity, and basically multi-threaded it to the point where multiple users can use it simultaneously and tune in, listen to different radio frequencies. And I think you can have hundreds of people tuning in at any one time, playing around with the radio on the website via a Java applet or HTML5 applet. And you can basically just interact with this radio remotely, tune into all these really cool, interesting shortwave frequencies, and just basically get an idea of what's going on out there. And what that in itself is very interesting and it's fascinating, but what's even more interesting from my perspective is, as I kind of looked around on this site and got a feel for it, I realised that actually there's a live chat room and they've just called it the chat box, and it's just a basic sort of Java front end they've knocked up, and it's just a little primitive little chat box, but it's all you need. And people are like hardcore radio enthusiasts are on this site, and what they're doing is they're providing links to frequencies, so they're all listening now at all times of day, and you get the same old usernames all times of day, day and night. So there's real hardcore people out there logging and chronicling all this stuff, and they're basically providing links to do interesting radio frequencies and commenting on what we could be listening to, what it is, and speculating about it. And some of it's really mysterious, and this makes for some fascinating late night listening. It gets very eerie, and I actually freaked myself out a little bit doing this the other night, because some of the sounds you get on shortwave are really freakish. I mean, most of them can be explained, some of them can't always be, but they just sound inherently scary and terrifying, really. There's some sort of demonic sounds going on sometimes, and really evil, really, like I say, sinister sort of sounds you get. But we personify these sounds, I think, and we try and kind of work out the meaning and try and get a sense of what's going on. But a lot of time it's just a result of tech that's just, it's just a byproduct of what's going on. Like, it's probably just some really boring radio beacon that's basically being used for weather analysis and all this kind of thing, ATIS and all this business, aviation, weather. So most of it is not scary at all, but the sounds themselves are quite intriguing, and that's why I kind of got really into this site. And I looked into this a little more, and I realised that there actually are quite a number of these sites out there now. This is just one of them, but I think this is perhaps the most popular. And I'm not going to read all of this because it's quite a large section of detail here. I'm just going to read the first line of the website's description to give you an idea. So, Faculty for Electrical Engineering, Mathematical and Computer Science, University of Twente. On this page, you can listen to and control a shortwave receiver located at an amateur radio club at the university's campus. In contrast to other web-controlled receivers, this receiver can be tuned by multiple users simultaneously thanks to the user-defined radio, which I'm guessing is, software-defined radio. So it's some sort of software solution that allows them to allow remote users to use this in parallel, which is very clever. This site, which in 2008 was the very first web SDR site ever, was finally reactivated in July 2012 after an interruption of more than 1.5 years. And apparently there's an archive link you can read about what happened there. And I haven't actually done that yet, but I'm guessing they just had some downtime for technical reasons, perhaps. But it's back up, and it's been up for a few years now, and it's going strong. This system is currently composed of a mini whip antenna, a home-built SDR board, and there's a picture of it. It looks quite small, really. It just looks like it's plugged in via a PCI slot in the back of a computer. Tiny little thing, really. About the size of a mobile phone, which samples the entire shortwave spectrum, wow, and sends all of this via a gigabit Ethernet link to a PC, where a special version of the web server software processes it. And it goes on a little bit about the technical nature of the design. The active receiving element is about 5 by 10 centimeters large. Such an antenna only works well with a good grounding, and ours is on top of a 20 meter high building. I think that's, I'm guessing that, yeah, it must be meter. The upper part of which is all metal. That's quite interesting. So it's a good conductor, good receiver of sound, I guess. And then they've got a bit of a history of sort of notes, and they update it every few months. That's very interesting stuff. So, like I say, I've sort of been tuning into this a lot, and it does get very addictive. I'm just going to look on the chat room now to see what's going on. So this is just a good example, and I've not heard this yet, so I don't know what we're going to hear. But somebody's posted, what is happening here? And there's a link to 112.52.95 kHz USB. And then somebody's replied, I don't know, interesting. So let's click it and find out.
QMH10023. Tatalia Sigonella at 1055 wind
Well, interesting. Not necessarily an eerie one, but somebody's replied very quickly and said, well, this is ATIS, Aviation Weather, and it does sound like that. But it's quite interesting. And that's the kind of thing you hear that's a bit more conventional. So let's try something else. Somebody's clicked this link, and again, no idea what we're about to hear. Also provided this link. Yeah, quite interesting. Not necessarily a scary one, but nobody's replied to that one, so that's just a mystery. Let's try this one. Somebody's gone, OMG, look at that. So it sounds like Morse code to me. So that's apparently Morse code still going strong out there. It's probably a bit of a myth that Morse code's archaic tech. It's certainly still used, I think, particularly by the Russians and various other sort of Eastern military factions. But I wouldn't be surprised if the UK and the US still use it to a certain extent. What else have we got here? Apparently there's a Dutch radio one. I won't necessarily click on that. It's probably just a radio station. And what have we got here? Let's try this one. This is 14106 USB. It's a bit abstract, that one. Just sounds like interference to me. I think there's a slight voice. They've described that as Olivia. So they have these sort of call signs for certain sounds they've identified. And the most famous one, I think, and many people will have heard of this, but it's the UVB-76 eerie sound that emanates from Russia. And that apparently that's been going since the 50s, and nobody really knows what it's for. It's just this mysterious buzzing sound. I think it's also known as the buzzer. And it's just this buzzing sound that goes on for a series of minutes in quick succession, and then it stops. And it's just been coming out of Russia, like I say, for 50-odd years now. And there's a whole... I mean, we could probably do an episode about the UVB-76 mystery, because it's very interesting stuff. Lots on YouTube about it, but there's a lot of eerie stuff about that. Like there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it's actually being transmitted via an open microphone. So in other words, there's literally a physical microphone on a table recording the sounds of a machine making a buzzing noise and then broadcasting it, which is very primitive and kind of a weird way to do things. And presumably it's the same setup that they had when they originally started it in the 50s. This is very strange. And there's been instances where people have recorded people in the same room having a conversation as the buzzing sounds are going off, and also apparently a very strange one where Swan Lake was being played in the background, some music. So very, very bizarre. And some analysis was done, and the crew went to the location where they expected it to be being broadcast from. They worked out, I think, via some triangulation where it was coming from, and it was an abandoned building that hadn't been used apparently by the Russian military for a number of years. Very, very strange, like I say. It's quite eerie. And also there's one that's... I can't remember what they call it now, but the Americans do like a sort of fail-safe early warning detection system that apparently just is like all their nuclear bombers have to sign in via some sort of call sign every day, and it comes through over the same frequencies. And when you know what it sounds like, you hear it and you know what it is every time. So what else have we got here? And like I say, what makes this really good is the chat room, because people are doing the hard work of going through this entire radio spectrum, trying to find eerie and interesting sounds. I'm doing this on a Sunday morning, so there's quite a few people on the chat room. What's this one? 6095. So yeah, a bit more conventional, that one. Like I say, it's all a bit of a mix. So sometimes you just get radio stations. Nothing eerie about that particularly. This is interesting. So apparently on 1611, there's a Dutch pirate with a huge signal of more than 60 decibels. Let's see how that sounds. It's very strange. I mean, that kind of sounds overmodulated. It's like I say, it's coming through at a very huge signal rate, massive amount of power behind that broadcast, but not really much to it, just some strange techno style music. So obviously that's some sort of pirate station. And then we've got Radio Amigo, which is a German pirate station. It's a slightly different one. And that's currently what's being shared, so nothing particularly crazy at the moment. And I think what we could now do is, if I just play the sound of the Russian UVB-76, which I may as well because it's relevant, but it is quite an eerie sound, and it's eerie when you remember that this broadcast, this sound, has been going on for a long time. So this has been the same sound since the 50s. So let's give that a listen. UVB-76 for buzzer. And like a lot of speculation, I mean, this particular YouTube video, which is just a random video I've clicked on, and the user has put a Russian number station which broadcasts a single buzzing monotonous note 25 times a minute every hour. 1 minute before the hour, the tone changes to the manner it does in this clip. So there you go. And it's like all these things, if you're in the Russian military and there's some reason why you need to know about the buzzer, it's probably all very explainable, but it's a mystery to those that don't know about it and don't understand what it's there for, and it's quite an eerie one. So that was just a brief look really into the world of, well, I guess web-based SDR is what it's known as now, to give it its fancy term. But it's very interesting stuff, and the best way to sort of go about this is to go on the site yourself one late at night. I find is always the coolest time to do it, and just click on the links in the chat box and just freak yourself out, basically. Some people won't be at all freaked out by this, but I've always just found radio sounds quite eerie. There's a sort of archaic element to them, the unknown, the mysterious, because you don't know where they're coming from, and they have to sort of kind of otherworldly sounds, this sort of odd element to them, this sort of ethereal element to them. And so I've always found them very interesting, murky. So there you go. And I'll provide the link in the notes for this episode, so give it a go. To use the site, you'll need to have Java installed. I mean, I think practically everyone has Java nowadays, so shouldn't be a problem. Works best, I think, on Mozilla or Firefox or Chrome browsers. I'm not sure if it works well in IE. So there you go.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.